Everyone, we are thankful, of course, for every day that the Lord has made, but it's especially important when we're able to get together for worship, and we're thankful for your presence here amongst us today and to be able to worship together. We have a lot of things that are going on today, and I wish I knew what they were, but for all my yakking and talking and visiting, I didn't grab a bulletin. So do we have any ushers? Oh, hey. Thank you, Karen. I appreciate that. So maybe if we can get one of the ushers to reimburse Karen for her generosity. You'll see inside that we do have the softball registration information there. Do we have any prayer concerns or moments of joy that we'd like to share when we're all gathered together today?
Yep. I just wanted to say thank you for the prayers for my parents, but I ask for continued prayers. We found out, we got results back from the testing when we went to the Mayo Clinic, and it is not Alzheimer's, but it is still dementia. So we have to go back and do more testing with some different doctors. So please pray for them. My dad just had a knee replacement, so they're gonna have to go by themselves, and that's like a 12-hour drive. So it's a long drive, long week. So
thanks. Thank you for the update and the opportunity to continue to lift your family up in prayer. Yes, anyone else?
I have a joy. My brother, Stacy Wilfong, has been on kidney dialysis for a number of years, and he was blessed with a kidney yesterday, and it was going well.
All right, that's great. What a joy to continue to share and celebrate when we're invited to continue for prayer for those things. Yes, for your brother. Anyone else? Moments of joy or prayer requests? No. Obviously, we can look around and see that we're a little light with the holiday weekend and summer, of course. Maybe we could take stock of some friendly faces that we don't see today and just remember beyond them, as well as those who are traveling today, for safe traveling mercies for those, and for also law enforcement that's trying to keep those things safe this weekend. So let's try to remember that. Anyone else? No. Do we have any announcements that aren't printed in the bulletin? Dan, did you say you had one? No. Wanda?
I'm quite verbal, so I can. And September the 3rd. So if anyone knows anyone.
So, Wanda, there's still some slots, but next week is coming up and we don't have it full yet, right?
The 9th.
Okay, the 9th.
And it goes down to September. So the rest of them are pretty well filled.
And I was eavesdropping a little bit, and Wanda said she would make some phone calls if nobody steps up pretty soon. So be ready for the phone calls. Anyone else? Hey, what about any birthdays? Are you celebrating your birthdays this week? Is your birthday? What day? The 4th. Oh, well, hey. So you'll be having lots of fireworks for your birthday, huh? Celebrate? Bruce, how old will you be? Oh, 90. All right. Yeah. All right. Marianne? Oh, there's a birthday cake here for you. That's great. Well, Marion, thank you for letting us know in case you didn't hear that. Everyone's invited to stay after for a slice of cake to celebrate Bruce's 90th birthday. Thank you so much. That's great. Anyone else? Your birthday this week?
Today.
Hey, all right. Judy, happy birthday. This is a great week. Anyone else? Let's sing. Glad you guys sat in the same row.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Love sharing those days. Do we have another celebration for any anniversaries that we're celebrating this week? Carrie?
Yes.
You're celebrating anniversary what day?
July 5th.
July 5th. How many years? 48 years. All right. Anyone else joining Carrie this week?
Today.
Today? And you guys are sitting together. That's great. Hey. It's quite interesting, some of our body language, isn't it? So today's your anniversary. How many years? 34. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Fantastic. Anyone else? We have another one? Bob and Karen, is that you over there punching down? Oh, next week.
It was last week.
It was last week.
Last week.
Last week. Well, how many years last week? See, they're on 33, they're still sitting together, but on 34, they'll probably get somebody in between them there, so you gotta. That's a lot of years. I don't think we celebrated that last week, did we? Did we celebrate last week? Okay. Anyone else? Let's go ahead and sing.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
All right. We'll go ahead and stand if you're able, and we'll begin our service by singing today a great patriotic song that shares our faith as well. 696, America the Beautiful. Please stand if you're able, 696. Please continue standing if you're able and join me for asking the Lord's blessing on our gathering together today. Almighty God, maker and creator of each and every good thing, Lord, you know us since before we were even born and before we even came to know you. You know our gifts, our circumstances we find ourselves in today, but Lord, we still gather in your presence and sacrifice this time, Lord, that so you would be honored and glorified and that you would take joy in everything you hear. Please, Lord, have the Holy Spirit bless the words that are spoken, the prayers that are lifted, and Lord, for the songs that are sang from each of our voices together. Lord, we would ask that you would strengthen us and give us courage and hope as we continue to be your people, to seek after the kingdom and to be used by you for your purposes. In Christ's powerful and matchless name we pray. Amen. All right, you may find your seats. And as we find our seats, we're going to ask Carrie to come up today and share an opportunity with us today for a celebration and ministry in life. So, Carrie, I'll hand things over to you.
Good morning. I come before you today with a sad announcement. Probably all or many of you know that a pastor that was here in the past, a few years ago, back in 04 and 05, passed away last Sunday about 3 o'clock. And I've been asked by Pastor Matt to talk about our relationship. I also want to announce and read this because I thought there might be some flyers on it, but there's not. It's his death notice that I'd like to read and his obituary. Reverend John N. Grenfell, Jr., retired clergy, went home to be with our Lord on Sunday, June 25th, 2017, at the age 86. Visitation will be today from 2 to 5 this afternoon and also 7 to 9 this evening at the Pollock Randall Funeral Home located at 912 Lapeer Avenue in Port Huron. The phone number there is 810-982-0179. Funeral services will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. at Port Huron First United Methodist Church, located at 828 Lapeer Avenue, right across the street from the funeral home. Condolences may be sent to his wife, Mrs. Janine Grenfell and family, 2966 Sylvan Drive, Fort Gratiot, Michigan, 48059. Memorials may be made to Port Huron First United Methodist Church or Simpson Park Camp. John was born December 27, 1930 in Detroit to the late John and Dorothy Grenfell. He married Janine Neal on June 19, 1952 in St. Clair Shores. If you want to add it up, they've been married 65 years. John graduated from Cass Technical High School in Detroit, Barnard College, William Penn University, and Garrett Theological Seminary. He then served United Methodist Churches in Iowa, Wisconsin, and Michigan for 41 years as a pastor and district superintendent. In retirement, he traveled across the country as a tireless reformer and advocate for integrity and justice within the church. He also served as camp director for 7 years at Simpson Park in Romeo, Michigan, the state's oldest holiness camp meeting for families. He's a recipient of the Edmund Robb Jr. United Methodist Renewal Award from the Good News Board of Directors. He was a lifetime honorary member of that board. In addition, he received the Conscience of the Conference Award from the Associates in Advocacy in recognition of a lifetime ministry of integrity, compassion, and courage in upholding and defending the covenant of the clergy. John was a man of strong conviction, deep faith, loyal commitments, and persevering love. His love of God, family, and friends has inspired many throughout this life. He is survived by his wife of 65 years, Janine, children, Reverend Dr. John N. Grenfell III of Plymouth, Eileen Grenfell of McQuan, Wisconsin, Kathy and Fred Betcher of Schoolcraft, Jim Marilyn of Bethel, Washington, and Lori Mike Berman of McQuan, Wisconsin. A daughter-in-law, Dee Dee Grenfell of Dearborn, 16 grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren, and his sister, Dorothy, and Don Murray of Canton, Ohio. He was preceded in death by his son, Mike, son-in-law Harry Kaufman, and granddaughter Brooke. That was all added on. I didn't know I had to do that today. Reverend John N. Grenfell, Jr. John passed quietly last Sunday, June 25th, 2017, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, while listening to scripture being read to him and also listening to Christian hymns on CDs. It has been my privilege and honor to know John and to be asked to do this talk regarding our relationship. John was a temporary pastor here at Sandusky United Methodist Church. I believe from December 2004 to July 2005. I've been told that he made great strides strengthening our church here and made some positive redirection. I know he did with me. John had been my pastor, a dear friend, and my mentor. I believe we developed a special relationship with each other for the past 12 years that I have known him. I met John in April 2005. Many of you know the story. It's the day that I walked into this church. My pastor friend at that time was Lehman Flatt, who married Linda and my, who's my wife, married us on July 5th, 1969. He was retired and living in Tennessee, and he came to Michigan to do the funeral service for my daughter, who had passed away of mitral valve prolapse in her sleep. It was a Saturday night, and the funeral had been earlier that day, and Lehman said, "We're going to go to church tomorrow." I knew that he was a pastor from the Church of Christ, and I knew there was no Church of Christ in the town of Sandusky. So I said, "There's no church here by that." "Well, we're going to church." He was insistent upon it. Long story short, to make it short, I called Richard Stone, told me about this church, Sandusky United Methodist Church, and that was the day that I walked in here. Near the end of the service, my friend Lehman walked up to the altar up here and spoke with John. I really had no idea what he told him, but I know he told him of my circumstances, my daughter passing, and the grief that me and my family was suffering through. John spoke of it and led prayer. At the end of the service, right down here in front, Lehman brought me down and introduced me to John. We shook hands. He no more than said hello to me. And the next thing out of his mouth, "Why has it been 30 years since you were at church?" I was floored. But I responded, looking down at that floor, and very meekly and humbly said, "Because I'm unworthy." And John, in response, exclaimed, "We're all unworthy." From that moment on, I knew that I was at the right place. I had a feeling of peace that came over me that I'd never had before. And I have been here since that time. Lehman and John, that day, stored up treasure in heaven that day. Together, they rescued a lost soul that very day. That lost soul was me. I realized that I had needed Jesus in my life. I had always tried to do it my way. I was filled with anger, resentment, and bitterness. I blamed myself for my daughter's death because of all my past sins. I blamed God for all my hurt and misery. John's Sunday messages seemed directed at me. Did he do that? No, that was God getting my attention. He visited our home and talked with my wife, Linda, and I weekly. He also stayed in contact by phone. I guess he wasn't going to let me get away. John's pastor stint ended in July when Pastor Colin arrived. But John still visited us whenever he came close to the Sandusky area for anything, and he was always welcome at our home. He also stayed in contact with me by phone. but not as often as that first year or so in our 12-year relationship. But I knew whenever I had a problem, I knew who to call. When we talked, I would attempt to tell him what I was doing for the church and what ministries I was involved in, but somehow he always seemed to know. We shared stories, experiences, and life lessons. Sometimes we discussed scripture and prayed together. I loved listening to him because it seemed to me like God speaking through him to me with the love and understanding that he had. Whenever I spoke with John by visit or phone, I always felt inspired when our talk ended. Even when he was the one in the hospital or rehab and I went to help him or inspire him, I left inspired. John had so many wonderful attributes and talents given to him by God, and he used them. John was a man of strong conviction and integrity. He was a very good listener, understanding of others because he knows that people have faults and failures and sins. He was trustworthy and dependable. And one of his best attributes was he had common sense. He was bold at times, but was always humble. He had the courage to do and speak for right and wrong for God, himself, and others who couldn't speak for themselves. He was loyal to commitments, and he had a very deep faith in God. I believe his greatest attribute was his love and compassion for God, family, friends, and others. When John was called upon, he answered. John was God's servant. In other words, John was always willing to help others rather than himself. What a wonderful and loving support group John had with his family, the love, the understanding, and the unselfishness that they had. But especially his loving wife, Janine, who was always by his side, loving and supporting him. What a blessing she was to him. I know because he told me so. Jesus said, "A man's heart determines his speech." In other words, you talk about most whatever you care about the most. John had a great passion for God and always spoke of God and God's will and God's way, first and foremost. John had Jesus Christ's outlook and perspective about life. John had a wonderful and personal relationship with God. John was dedicated to God, as we all should be. And John's goal was eternal life with God in heaven. Losing John is our sorrow here on earth, but it's time to rejoice because John has reached his goal. What a resume and legacy John has accomplished. John has entered the gates of heaven to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and many others that he has helped to get to heaven by the good news that he shared and delivered. John knew who he was and his purpose here on earth. And God knew who John was and is, because John radiates all the glory to God. We love you, John, and thanks for all that you have helped us with. We love you, God, and we thank you for allowing John in our lives. We all hope to restore our love and friendship in heaven in the future with both of you. Rejoice and praise God. If you would, please stand and we'll sing the hymn "When We All Get to Heaven."
Amen. You may be seated. And just an FYI, if anyone needs any directions, Carrie will be around after the service as well as myself to help navigate you there if you're not familiar with Port Huron. Today we're going to be moving on to the children's message, but we're going to change it a little bit. We're not going to have the kids come up. What I wanted to do, instead of having our traditional children's time, I wanted to share from one of our older children. So I'm going to be reading this off my cell phone, and this comes to us from Aaron Campbell, who is actually in Ecuador right now for the majority of the summer on a mission trip. And it's interesting that we would share it today, because when we just talked a little bit about hearing from Carrie about John, it talks about investment, right? It talks about investment in our lives, and whether we are chronologically young or old, the investment is still the same. And we've shared our stories throughout most of this year on most Sundays, and we've heard just what that influence means and how it takes us from here all the way to here. And so here's an opportunity for us to remember that Erin was raised in this church, right? And you knew her when she was chronologically and height-wise here and chronologically and height-wise here. And this is an update that we wanted to share with you. So this came when she was able to be at a pit stop for a couple of hours where she did have internet access. So this comes right from her. Pastor Matt, maybe you can share an update during the church service. Ecuador has been incredible so far. Monday, we went to a school in an impoverished area called Mount Sinai to help teach the little kids English. Afterwards, we walked around the village and prayed for families in the community. Most of these families lived in shacks with dirt floors. The pastor who was leading us around didn't speak any English, so I had a chance to translate for my entire team. As we walked up to the last house, the woman inside informed us through tears that she had just heard back from her doctor, who told her she had cancer. She invited us into her home, and all of us joined hands and prayed for healing for her. It's hard to explain exactly how powerful that prayer was, but I could feel it inside my spirit. The rest of the week, we spent sharing on our campuses. My team is spread out amongst three different campuses. Myself and four others are on a campus called Salziana. There aren't any existing Christian groups on the campus, so our mission is to start one. This means we are sharing the gospel with students and discipling them during the entire week. This past week, 9 students accepted Christ. 9 students. God continues to blow my mind. Since most of our conversations are with students who don't speak any English, only Spanish, I'm learning a lot about what it means to allow myself to be used by God and for God's Spirit to work through me. Most of our conversations are in constant prayer on my end, simply asking for God to help me understand what's being said to me and to help give me the words to speak to them in wisdom in return. I truly believe that we've seen so much fruit in one short week because we are praying so much and walking closely by the Spirit, not in our own strength. Will you please pray for me and the rest of the students at my campus? Pray that we would continue to meet students who are hungry for the gospel. Pray for the students we've already met. Pray that we get an opportunity and chance to meet again and talk more openly about the gospel. To God be the glory. It's important that we hear an update like that, isn't it, from one of our own that we send, right? We commission, we pray, the kids at Children's Time gave some offerings for her. She goes with prayer and with great praise. And we understand, again, at these moments, it's hard for us to sometimes always give that credit, because we know when you're going as a missionary, you're going with a humble spirit. But that's why we get an opportunity to do this. Dear friends, a young woman that has a lot of things that she could be doing for herself, for a well-earned break, right, from college, well-earned and deserved, but using this break not selfishly, but allowing the Lord to use an entire summer sacrificed in mission. We are thankful for that update, and I hope that you would just continue to keep Erin and her family in your prayers, as well as those that their campus ministries are missioning to and witnessing as well. So continue to rely on the Lord's Spirit and keep them safe. Could we now move to sing, and we don't have to stand, we'll stay seated to sing His Name is Wonderful to prepare us for our moment in prayer.
Jesus.
spirit of prayer, and we'll end this prayer by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Gracious God, for the many things that you have done in our life, whether we are aware or unaware, we give you thanks and we give you praise. Almighty God, for the things that you are at work in our life right now, for those moments, those people, those circumstances, Lord, we again heap on you glory and praise. And Lord, because of those promises fulfilled, because of your faithfulness, never returning to us a void, Lord, can we put our faith and our trust to promise that you have our future in your hands. And we give you glory and praise for that work we have not yet seen in the days to come. Lord, we know you seek to comfort our hearts, to give peace to our stresses and anxieties. Lord, to give us strength when we don't know where to find it. Lord, to give us wisdom when we've exhausted our own. And Lord, we would just ask that we would have the courage and commitment and trust in you to seek you first, to seek you always, and to seek you last. To put down our own things at the foot of the cross and pick up your wisdom and your truth. We know there were some prayer requests that were shared at the beginning of the service, but we know that wasn't an encompassing list. And we would just ask, Lord, that in this brief moment of silence, you are here, the things that concern us that we need to lift to you, whispered from our hearts to yours. Lord, thank you for knowing the depths of our hearts, and thank you for finding ways to put people in our lives to encourage us and help us through these things, that we may see your Son Jesus reflected in their lives. As we look to see Jesus reflected in others' lives as well as ours in this world, we remember that it was Jesus in Scripture who taught us to pray. As we say the Lord's Prayer, as is our tradition that's inspired from those words, as we invite you to say in one voice, as one body, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As has been our practice over the season of Lent and afterwards for the sermon series was to say the Apostles' Creed. It's a great opportunity to remind us of the summary of truths that we have. And this comes from a teaching from the Master of navigating beliefs that guide our lives. Could we please say together on the screen as one voice? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
We're going to ask Bill to come up and share with us, as is our summer tradition. Again, there is one open next week, as Wanda said, for special music, another commercial for that. We have an opportunity again to hear from Bill. We're so thankful that you continue to share your gifts with us throughout the life of the church. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. I'm going to do Onward Christian Soldiers. This was written during the Civil War. And hey, everybody, let's walk to Gettysburg. Can you imagine? 10,000 people approximately died from Michigan in the Civil War. That's a lot of people. So, I guess I'm ready. Wait.
soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Onward, Christian battle, see our banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the Church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. On then, we people join our happy throng. Land with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before.
Thank you, Bill. And will you be sharing with us for offering as well? No, okay. Well, that's all you get to hear from Bill today, so I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. That's fantastic. Thank you. You know, in the last few weeks, we followed along a series of messages that were highlighting some of the opportunities within the Apostles' Creed. And so we finished up last week, and it's an interesting time in the life of the calendar year, when we have things like the holidays that we celebrate. We always try to mention within the life of the church and our Sunday worship some of the events that are going on, right? Some of the secular holidays that aren't necessarily church holidays, but are things that are important to us. And we just celebrated like Father's Day a little bit ago, a couple of weeks ago. And those were those same kind of things. And so when we get together and there's a holiday coming up that we celebrate, like Independence Day or 4th of July coming up in a couple of days, try to take a little bit of time to talk about that, right? Because that's exactly why we gather today, right? That's why we prepare messages. That's why we celebrate and worship, that there is a message or a sermon or a devotion being given, because it's to take the truths, the everlasting truths, the living word, and try to give us some type of hope and encouragement and follow through in this life and how it applies to where we're living at this moment. Well, so would you agree then a couple of days, the 4th of July is going to be here. And so this is the weekend that often we're going to celebrate that together. And especially in this church, more than a couple of, probably the most than any church I've either visited or been a part of or served for any period of time, has really honored that tradition of our nation's celebrations, right? We've celebrated quite heavily for like the 4th of July and Veterans Day, Memorial Day, and things like that. And it's really important. Important we do those things. And it's interesting that some of the feedback we get this summer is from the bell chimes that have been going on, especially when we had the veterans, the Vietnam Wall, over Memorial Day weekend, that all throughout the part of downtown area in the community, some of our patriotic hymns could be heard. How good did that feel to know that, hey, where is that coming from? That type of soundtrack, right, that was providing a memory. Well, that was coming from Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Felt pretty good to say those kind of things, right? In a good way, we might have walked like this a little bit, huh? In those days, huh? So we're still doing some of that now. And it's important because we remember there's so much independence in Scripture. When we're talking about things, and as we've talked a lot about today, and as Carrie talked a little bit about the ministry and life of a former pastor here, of Pastor John, death really has this finality to it, this side of heaven. And we find our hope in the truth that that's not the last word, that there's more to the story than that, that there's more breath that we take on the other side of heaven. And I suppose, because of the weekend that we live in, this is sort of like an independence from the wages of sin. We've studied in Scripture so many times that the wages of sin is death. But we don't inherit, as Christians, we don't inherit that fate, that sting of death, because we have independence. We've been delivered because of our Savior's sacrifice. I wanted to read these words from the New Testament book of Romans, and Paul says these things in chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Romans chapter 6, 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Absolutely not, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death as well? We were therefore buried with him through our baptism into death, in order that, just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we too may have new life. Verse 5. If we have been united with him like this into his death, then we most certainly also will be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self has been crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died is now free from that sin. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Jesus was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has any hold or mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for always. But the life he lives eternally to God. And finally, in verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves, ourselves, dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus the Christ. Independence Day is realized in the life of you and me in the church every single day. As this weekend we would seek to honor our country's independence, we're reminded of things like sacrifice. We sang it of loving mercy more than life, of paying a heavy price so that others that would come after would be able to prosper. We gathered together today because of some of those sacrifices that nobody can tell us or make us stop gathering like this. For some of the cookouts or gatherings we might be having this weekend as well as on to Tuesday. And can I just share with you that I'm getting together with a cluster of clergy friends. We might sing a little bit. And it might sound like church a little bit, because if you get a whole bunch of pastors together, we might have to sing a couple songs out of the hymnal. We can do that, because some brave men and women sacrificed their time, maybe their lives, because they valued freedom and mercy more than their own lives. We all need to be thankful for the opportunity to gather together publicly on Sunday morning, to be broadcast unashamed on the radio, to be able to pray in public, to be able to speak Christ's name. And while we might ruffle some feathers of some folks who think that they know better, we have the freedom to do that. That freedom came at a price. Can we make sure that we remember as we celebrate that price? We celebrate the truths that that price paid to proclaim. Independence Day that we celebrate as a nation came after this Independence Day that we celebrate for the resurrection of Jesus. And that when we believe in Him and allow ourselves to be baptized with Him and united with Him, we also die to that sin inheritance. And we live through that inheritance of everlasting life as He rose from the dead. And it's interesting here because so many times we feel like here we can celebrate our faith, we can celebrate the goodness of God, but we spend a lot of our time defending it. Would you agree that sometimes we have to defend or debate or argue about our faith because it's come under fire? It's being attacked. Dear friends, sometimes we can see the faces of those who have helped sacrifice so we have the religious freedoms and beliefs to make our case, to state our point. Whether you're familiar or one of your gifts is speaking in public, it doesn't matter. More than saying the Pledge of Allegiance, more than thanking a veteran, if you really, truly are thankful that we have the freedoms that we have, share this message. This message was paid for and bought by the blood of Christ. And our ability to share it has been sustained by the sacrifice of time and sometimes blood from young men and women so we could have this ability to proclaim this good news. Paul was so thorough in his explanation here, because remember, Paul wasn't born believing the good news. Paul wasn't a man of God in this treatment of Christians before he had his encounter with Christ. So he knows the other sides of the arguments very well. He had lived in a life that was prosperous and advantage. So when he comes across here, it's interesting because he's asking us all these questions. But what Paul's doing is so important is that he's addressing some of the concerns he knows is going to come. Would you agree that when we share our faith or we try to inject in a moment of conversation, we have a pretty good idea of what some folks might say to kind of refute that, right? We kind of know the argument that's coming, at least generally. Paul's doing the same thing here. He says, because so many of the lawmakers and the people that would try to seek to change, right, what independence means into their own vision of things, Paul says in the first verse here in chapter 6, says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? That doesn't sound right. So if we only got that first verse by itself, it's kind of, that doesn't sound right. But he responds to answering his own question. It says, by no means. Some translations say impossible. What he was arguing against was a belief that sometimes some people have even now. So if we accept the grace of Christ that is unending, that doesn't have limits, if we embrace His love, well, does that mean that if He covers everything, then wouldn't we want to gain more grace, more of His love, by really sinning it up, right? Because if I'm really getting in the deep end, right, like in a pool, and I'm in 10 foot of sin going on, He's going to have to give me 10 feet of grace. Well, that's more grace than you if you only got 3 feet of grace, right, and kind of in the kiddie shallow end. Some people were trying to make that argument that doesn't that mean if I have Christ that I can just kind of do whatever I want, because by me being bad, by me being sinful, I'm actually going to gain more than you. I hope that sounds foolish this morning. I really do. I mean, I hope we don't need to spend a whole lot of time knowing that we don't want to abuse Christ's grace, because even though it can cover things, it is very sinful and not very Christ-like at all to just have even worse behavior or irregard for Christ's sacrifice and continue doing what we want, abusing Christ's grace. I would invite you to think about these very moments. when we talked about the Apostles' Creed, that those were words that weren't just memorized. They were said as a way, a set of words to navigate and give direction to our lives. They have to make us change. They have to make us move. They have to have an impact on us. And we're so fond of pointing on the different types of graces in our United Methodist heritage and tradition. This moment of sanctification, this opportunity that Jesus and the Spirit is alive and well in us, and we obey that to become better than what we were. And even if we were raised in the church, and we can't pick a moment where all of a sudden that we had this moment where we realized who Christ was and things were different from that day forward. When I say it doesn't matter, I'm not saying it wasn't impacting, but the conditions specifically don't matter. If we find ourselves alive with Christ in our life today, it needs to make us better today than we were yesterday. It needs to convict us of things even more so if they still need to be changed in our life today. The truths that we have, as Scripture says here, if you have been united with Him in His death, we will certainly be united with Him in resurrection. When we sang together this popular song of our faith, when we all get to heaven, people know most of those words by heart. It was loud. If we believe that truth, that we inherit the kingdom of heaven, that we have eternal life, if we promise and we believe in that resurrection, then we also must believe wholeheartedly and encourage with the death of sin, that it's out. It doesn't have reign over us anymore. We are not slaves to it. It doesn't have mastery over us. We are independent of the wages of sin, not because of what I've done or if you've done, but what Jesus has done. It will always be enough. In 1 John chapter 7, it says, "But if we walk into the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and also we share the blood of Jesus. His Son cleanses us from all sin." In this moment, I would ask you to think if that newness is in you today. If that newness is in me today. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, of course, but I want you to really think about this together as we all ponder this. Do we have the newness that Jesus offers us in our lives today? Let me ask you a question beyond that. Can the people in our lives that know us best, now remember, we're not to judge each other, right? But would the people in our lives that know us best, would they be able to see the newness of this in our lives? That's one thing for us to claim it, but would it be witnessed by the people that know us best, this newness that we find in Jesus? Will they see it in our lives? Dear friends, if they don't see it, the ones that know us best, the world will never know that we are kingdom soldiers. As Bill sang, we won't march to anything if those that know us the best don't see the newness in our lives. To understand what freedom means, we have to be reminded sometimes of the depth of slavery to sin. As we move on and think of what does freedom mean, I would like to ask our communion stewards that have been asked to help before the service, if you could come up, please. As our communion stewards find their way to the front, I would ask that you would notice something that they all have in common. Our communion stewards, as they make their way up, is not all of, but are representing today, our veterans. And I would ask that, gentlemen, you would face the congregation, if you could, and then we would welcome your fellow brothers and sisters who have also served in the armed forces in any capacity, if you would please stand. Do we have anybody else? Thank you. Thank you all very much for your service. Before we move on to communion, we've take focus on why we're here. But remember, when we have this open table in the United Methodist Church that's open to anyone that would like to renew their commitment and recognize and acknowledge the newness that Jesus brings, the understanding that when the table is open, you partake of the simple meal of bread and juice, that you would be renewed in your walk away from the table. Everyone that stood up, we've marked your faces. We thank you for the ability to do this in public. We thank you that the bread isn't dirty because it's been cuttered, because it's been traveling underground. And we thank you that the juice is fresh that finds our lips, that it wasn't wine turned back to vinegar because we've had to keep it hidden for so long. We thank you that we can walk out of this place for no fear of our families because of the truth that we proclaim. For whatever your mark of sacrifice, whatever it costs, thank you all who stood. And thank you for those that are serving now and for those who will serve in the future. Because on the night that Jesus was betrayed, on the night when he had to stare death and sacrifice in the face, on the night when he had to choose mercy and grace over his very own life, his last meal that told the faithful story of God's deliverance, of God's freedom, was on his lips. But there was a new type of liberation from sin. There was a new type of freedom. And Jesus asked for God's blessing on the bread, and he broke it in front of those that he loved. He told those that he loved around them, when you take and eat of this bread, be reminded of my broken body that will be suffered for you, that will pay the price for your sin. And not only you, but the generations that come after you, for all, once and for all eternity. And each time you take of this bread, remember, my life was given for you, that I loved you more than my life. And when the bread was taken, Jesus then at that same table that told of God's deliverance, shared the story of God's faithfulness and their freedom until this moment. He then raised the cup. But it was unlike any cup before them. When he raised the cup and he asked for God's blessing and it was received, to the same that he gathered around his final meal before he would take the cross, he lifted that cup of suffering and offered it to each of them as offered to you. And he said, just as any good covenant and any promise that comes from our Lord is sealed in blood, this sacrifice once and for all is for the redemption of sin, that it will free you from being a slave and inheritor of the wages of sin, that it will free you from death. This cup seals in the blood of me on the hill on that cross, that when my blood is poured out, each time you take of this cup, remember that my blood was spilled out for you to seal this promise, to stain you and cover you, and an everlasting grace, mercy, and love that will never come clean. As often as you take of this cup, will you remember my unending love for you and my unending amounts of grace. As I've mentioned before, there will be two stations. In United Methodist Church, we have an open table. That means you don't have to swear an oath. You don't have to go through a certain class or ordeal. If you feel called, if you feel led today to come up and receive the bread and the cup of juice, come up to renew yourself, to walk back renewed in our promise and our commitment to the one who saved us, to Jesus, opening ourselves to his direction, not ours. And as the ushers come forward, they'll dismiss you. The table is now open. If you find yourself unable to come to the front, please tell the ushers and we will make sure we come to you. Let no barrier stop between you and the open table. It is open with the ushers.
I would like to share with you, in light of us finishing our table communion, again, verse 11. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in God through Jesus the Son. Can we ask our ushers to come forward again as we respond with our tithes and our offerings, allowing the Lord a portion, the King's portion, the best of our fruits from the blessings we've already received. Lord, we submit these gifts to you, Lord. Some of us, it costs a great deal of sacrifice to be faithful to you. And Lord, we would just ask that you would honor those sacrifices from all the houses from which they came. Lord, bless the ministries that they will see gone forward, that those who need to hear the good news would hear it, and those who need to be encouraged would be encouraged, and those who need to find grace and love would surely find it. Please bless these offerings, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, let us sing together number 697, America.
Thank you.
My dear friends, could we go today encouraged, strengthened, and given renewed purpose as we seek to break from this place of worship and on to the mission we've been called and equipped to serve, to bring the good news, to be representatives of Christ in this world. He has freed us from sin at a heavy price. Could we use the freedoms that men and women have provided for us to share this good news, to be unashamed for God's unending and unmatched love and grace? Could we walk in this truth strengthened by the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Independence Day today and always. You are dismissed. Please stay for Navy.